When I was younger, I paid credit card companies a fortune in interest and unexpected charges because I didn't have a credit history. Now I'm slightly older. I've built some credit, but I'm still getting dinged with annual fees and rates that are too high. But have you heard about a credit card company that actually helps you avoid paying those fees and unexpected interest charges? Well, I just did, and it completely changed the way I think about credit cards. That new company is called Pedal. Pedal uses advanced technology and partners with WebBank member FDIC to provide access to a Visa credit card along with a simple, modern mobile app experience designed to help you build credit. You can qualify even if you've never had credit in the past, but make no mistake, Pedal is great for anybody looking for more from their credit card company. Pedal has no fees. When Pedal says they have no fees, they mean it. Even if you miss a payment, no annual fees, foreign transaction fees or any kind of fees. Pedal suggests you should avoid interest charges entirely by paying in full each month. They also let you automate your payments on their mobile app so you never miss one. As of today, their variable APRs range from 15.24% to 26.24%, and credit limits range from $500 to $10,000, which can be a lot higher than other credit cards if you're just starting to build credit. You can see if you're pre-approved without impacting your credit score. So if you want to build your credit the right way, check out the Pedal credit card. It's a smarter credit card for the modern world. Go to pedalcard.com/Rob to find out more. That's Pedal with a T, P-E-T-A-L card.com/Rob. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here with some special coverage here as we are getting ready to close out week number 10 or episode number 10's coverage here on Rob Has a Podcast. We're going to talk with Carolyn Rivera, Mama C, from Survivor Worlds Apart coming up here in just a moment. This was a very weird week with the Philadelphia know-it-alls, and so I was traveling on Thursday. We didn't get to do our regularly scheduled Survivor recap, so I didn't want to short you guys on a podcast this week, so I figured out a way to get to Mama C later on this week. Of course, if you missed any of our coverage after the Philadelphia know-it-alls, Ali Lasher was on this week in Survivor, had Hannah Shapiro here in the studio, and then the Wiggle Room with Josh Wiggler was just recorded today. So hope you guys enjoy all of that coverage, including this, my interview here with Mama C. All right, everybody. I'm very excited to talk to my guest today for this episode of the podcast. She played back in Survivor Worlds Apart with a man who is currently over on the edge of extinction. She is the host of her own podcast, The Carolyn Rivera Show. You probably know her, though, as Mama C. Yeah, baby.
Yes.
Hi, Carolyn.
Yeah, baby.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing really great. I'm very excited to get to catch up on a podcast and talk with you about everything going on.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm super psyched.
Yeah.
I don't think I've talked to you in like on this podcast in a few years, right?
Well, you were in Boston with us
last year.
Spring. So it's been about a year since we got to catch up. And that was a fun event. And we're just coming off of the big live show in Philadelphia. But you are down in Florida, right?
I am, yes.
Okay. What part of Florida are you in?
Tampa.
Okay. We've got some of our listeners down in Tampa, so that they will be happy to hear from a local survivor. Now, Carolyn, I know we're going to get into everything with Survivor, but could you tell the listeners a little bit about what you've been up to?
Yes. So after my stint on the island of, the season 30 cast, I actually quit my job and I started my own company. And basically what I do is I work with people, I work with companies, mostly in financial services, and I help them to focus in on their people, right? Because mm-hmm. it's all about the skills and competencies that people have to be successful. Mm-hmm. And so I work with them on getting people to be ready to really look for the changes in the environment that are around them and, you know, to be ready to succeed in life.
Yeah. And that's what you talk about on your podcast?
Yes. So my podcast is all about kind of leadership skills, mm-hmm. focusing in on, you know, what it takes for you to do things differently to make yourself better, right? Mm-hmm. Just to learn and grow every single day.
Okay. Do you see a lot of the things that you talk about in the show Survivor when you are watching how everything is happening from week to week?
Absolutely. You know, whether you're on the jungle mm-hmm. or whether you're in a boardroom, the skills are still the same, right? It's building relationships. It's open, honest communication with people. And so those are the same skills, whether you're in the jungle, on an island. You know, of course, they're a little bit different because, you know, the trust factor and, you know, the deceiving a little bit on the island is going to be different than at work. But the concepts are pretty much the same.
Okay. Well, let's talk about where we are in this Survivor season. And I'd love to get your take on the season as a whole. Are you enjoying this season, Carolyn?
I am. I am enjoying this season. It's okay. It's an interesting twist. You know, I'm not going to say that I 100% love it mm-hmm. in terms of the twist. I like the people. I like the way, you know, it's unfolding. As a player, and I would love to hear your thoughts on it. As a player, if you're on the edge of extinction for 33 days, and then you get to go back in the game and could potentially win the game, I don't know. I feel like I'm not loving that part of it.
Yeah, you're a purist in terms of the game, right?
I mean, I'm okay with twists, but this twist seems like it's a little too close. If it was day 20, okay, I'm all about it. Then you're still in mm-hmm. the game back for 19 more days.
Right.
But, you know, 3 days, that's
somebody's
hard for me.
Coming
as a
back
player,
in.
It's hard for me.
And that somebody might be your old friend, Joey Amazing.
And it might be. And, you know, listen, if it is Joey Amazing, I'm going to root for him and I hope he wins. But if I was on the edge of extinction or if I was actually in the game and somebody came back in and won after being on the edge of extinction for all that time, I'm not so sure I would love it.
Okay. Tell me, what did you think about Joe on this season in terms of his overall performance to this point?
I think Joe, you know, he comes to the game with a big target on his back. Mm-hmm. Since he played on my season, we all knew he was the best athlete on the show. And no matter how many times you try not to be the best athlete, if you're a competitor, you want to win, right? I mean, I would have a hard time turning that off. I'm a competitor. You're mm-hmm. a competitor, right? When you're in the game, you're like, let's do this. It's hard to turn it off. So he's going to have a hard time turning it off. And right. therefore, he's always going to win, right? His team didn't go to tribal council for what? How many days? I don't even, maybe it was like 18 or so.
Yeah.
But, you know, and a lot of that was because of his ability. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the first time they had the ability to get him out, they got him out. Or maybe the second, but okay.
Now,
yeah.
Carolyn, before Joe went out there, did he reach out to you for any advice about if he was going to play a third time?
Well, I mean, you know, we talk Survivor all the time, mm-hmm. whether I knew he was going out or not going out. We've discussed different strategies for the game, you mm-hmm. know, just like I have with a lot of different survivors.
Okay. So hypothetically, if you guys talked about things, what would your advice to Joe have been before this season?
I would have told Joe that he needs to focus on the other people mm-hmm. and bringing the other people to the limelight. Mm-hmm. Right? Because when you are that good at everything, right? Whether it's puzzles, whether it's, you know, strength challenges, speed, swimming, whatever it is, the other men on your season are going to see you as a threat.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can offload and make them feel like they're the ones who are carrying the tribe, that's what I would have told them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that really is, I think, the right way to try to play it. But I think it is hard to for these returning players to not have that stigma here as being one of these returning players in this season where everybody is gunning for them.
And it's even harder when there's only four, right? Mm-hmm. So if it was fans versus favorites, at least you have a whole tribe of returning players and you can sort of sneak around and hide under, you know, maybe a bigger threat. But there's four people, so each team had two. It's hard to hide mm-hmm. in that scenario.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, I thought that all the returning players would be voted out a lot sooner than they were.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, some of them made it, you know, farther than I had initially expected.
Now, I know that you're an expert on leadership. Do you think that if you're in this position of being one of these returning players, do you think that you really embrace that role of taking the reins and being that leader? Or do you think that you are best served to try to make yourself more of a follower if that was possible?
I think that it really does depend on who you're playing with.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people are going to expect you to be the leader and other people are going to want to take those leadership reins. And so really understanding who you're playing against and what they need is going to be the most critical element.
Mm-hmm. So talk to me about this past week of the show where David Wright and Kelly ultimately went out of the game back to back. Were you thinking that they would be able to get on the same page eventually before the end of this thing?
Yeah, I feel like they should have tried to work together. But from day one, they really weren't. They were not working together from day one. Mm-hmm. And neither one of them made a choice to really try and build that relationship and make it work.
Mm-hmm.
So they both went off on their own and they both found other people. And, you know, I feel like when there's only two of you and you're both up as returning players, you should definitely band together, because if you just each found one other person, now you're four.
Yeah.
You know? And so two is a lot better. Four is a lot better than two.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I feel like they made a mistake in not working together.
And there were so many times where David was gunning for Kelly and Kelly was gunning for David. But I really felt like at that tribal council where Julia went home, that it seemed like they had finally gotten back on the same page, where it was they had that conversation of like, hi, remember me? Yeah. What was the plan? OK, it was you. And they worked together to get out Julia. But then right after that, then it was then, all, you know, all bets were off. And we saw Kelly then gunning for David again. Now, in your season, there were moments where you had allies that had crossed you at one point and you had to consider getting back and working with them. And, you know, Mike specifically, when, you know, he was a persona non grata after the whole incident at the auction. What is it like on Survivor to have to decide about working with somebody who has wronged you before earlier in the game?
On Survivor, that's what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and we've seen the game evolve even since my season, where, you know, on season 31, when we have seen this whole voting block concept,
mm-hmm.
where it's not true alliances, it's just vote by vote and we'll see what happens. That's where the game is today. And so, you know, from when I played, or probably when you played, those things changed. And so, you know, it's just like in life, you've got to change with the times. If you play the same game that you did back then,
mm-hmm.
well, you're not going to be that successful because it's evolved. Mm-hmm. You know, think about Richard Hatch. If he plays the same game that he played the last season he played, he's never going to win,
mm-hmm.
right? Because the game is not that game anymore. And so the game continues to evolve, and you have to continue evolving as a player. And those voting blocks are here to stay, I believe.
Okay. Let me ask you a question from one of our listeners. Jeffrey Goldstein had a question for you. He says that you made a move against Tyler at the final seven. Do you think that the War Dog move was too early at the final nine? Now that there's a fire making at four, does that push the whole end game further back? Carolyn, what do you think about what War Dog did? And do you feel like there's any similarities between the move you made in your season to get out Tyler?
I feel like his move, you know, it to me, it's a little bit different only because it's a returning player versus a non-returning player. So in my season, we're all newbies. It's all kind of the same. Nobody has a big stigma. On this season, I feel like Kelly has a big stigma, right? She's coming. She's played the game three times. She did well in her second go round. And, you know, so she is looked at as a bigger threat. I feel like they could have actually waited a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly believe that with Kelly, because quite frankly, she hasn't been a challenge beast in terms of, you know, she's not in the final two all the time or even the final three. She sat out a couple of challenges. So she felt very comfortable to do that. And things were working for him. And so anytime you shake things up and you, you know, turn on your own alliance, there could be, a price to pay for that. And so it may be, you know, time will tell whether it is too soon, but I feel like he had more of an opportunity to wait. In my season, we were down to kind of the wire where, you know, potentially either Mike or Tyler could have gone on these immunity wins.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, time is ticking. There's not a lot of other people to deal with. And, you know, depending on who you want to sit with in the final two or three, you have to make that decision. So I feel like I made it, and I made it based on two things. One is that same day that I made the decision to send Tyler home, they were all talking about sending me home. Mm-hmm. That was Rodney's birthday, and he was really upset that that he didn't get to go on the reward. And so back at camp, all they were talking about all day long was, I hate Mama C, Mama C's going home.
Because
and it's
you
not
had
like,
promised him, right, that you were going to take him.
I promised him that I would take him if we had the opportunity to choose.
Okay.
I never said that I was going to give up my reward and give it to him.
Okay. So you didn't have the, that refresh our memory. So the, it was you and Mike and was it Sierra
it was
or Will?
Me, Mike and Sierra that won the reward.
Yes.
And we got to go on the,
to the school,
reward
right?
Where the school, right. Which is one that any survivor would like pray for, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's like a heart wrenching reward.
Right.
And so, and I actually did think about giving it up, but everyone was telling me, don't give it up. What are you, why are you even thinking about it?
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought to myself, guess what? This is my survivor experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
Once in a lifetime opportunity. I have to do it for myself. And so that's what I did.
Yeah. And we got great TV from Rodney that he had to,
exactly.
It was his damn birthday, bro. He had to wash dishes on his birthday. So, so many, exactly. So many great memories that Survivor fans still to this day, when, it's a Survivor fan's birthday, the other Survivor fans, right. You know, happy damn birthday.
Hope My
you don't
damn
have to,
birthday.
Yeah, yeah. Hope you don't have to wash dishes for your birthday. So, you gave that to the world, Carolyn.
Oh, I'm so glad that I had that opportunity to give that to everyone else.
Yeah.
I had a good time that day, though.
Yeah. Can you talk to me about, so now there's eight people left in the game. Do you feel like you have a good sense of who is going to be the winner of this season?
You know, I don't because, well, A, because you never know who's coming back in
right,
the game.
Right.
And that is a big twist. I feel like Devins is playing a great game.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like War Dog is very strategic and is playing the game hard. I also feel like he's pissing off a lot of people. So it could be touch and go for him.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And Ron, I feel like is also playing a good game.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see. And listen, you know, Victoria still has some game left in her.
Mm-hmm.
She's got to pull it out a little bit. And, Aurora, I think is on the fence.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to see which way she's going to, which way she's going
to
go.
Do you have a favorite that you like to watch on the show?
I do like to watch Devins.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
What does he do that you like?
He comes up with some great one-liners.
Mm-hmm.
I love the way he stirs the pot at Tribal Council all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like his new thing. He is going to just, he gets his broom out, he gets it going, and it's like all hell breaks loose.
Mm-hmm.
So, and listen, when I was in Tribal Council, we were never allowed to talk like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well,
like,
what do you
get
mean
up.
You weren't allowed to talk?
We were not allowed to get up and whisper in other people's ears and change the whole tribal council.
Now, nobody thought of that yet, or that you guys were told nobody's allowed to do this.
Well, I mean, I have a big mouth. So I said something one time and I got yelled at, and that was the last I said it.
Mm-hmm.
So we were truly not allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, all bets are off. You're allowed to do whatever you want.
Right. So it happened once. The toothpaste is out of the tube, and now they allow it.
Exactly. And now, because it's so, you know, mind-blowing that mm-hmm. it changes things, and, you know, the tribal councils are fabulous, not just, you know, back and forth, a few
right.
questions, and you're done. So it's definitely lively, and, you know, the jury looks at it like, holy cow, what's happening?
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Probst looks at it like, wow, this is great. So yeah, all bets are off. I think, you know, it's, I can't wait to play again so I can like say stuff and
yeah.
get up. And
how do you
whisper.
Think you would have taken advantage of that?
I would have definitely taken advantage of that a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You would be getting up and like whispering in people's ears or what? Learning things out?
Yeah, like a couple of times. I was unsure of the plan
mm-hmm.
because we changed it like last minute.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, well, you know, and even when, you know, Mike said he was going to play his idol for Shireen. I knew he wasn't going to play his idol for Shireen, but some people actually thought he was going to play his mm-hmm. idol for Shireen, and they changed the vote because of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, though there were some instances
right.
where
and
I could
Dan
see
got two.
Dan got two that day.
Yeah, that's what he said.
And he was pissed. but it was simply because they were unsure of what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, what if they did?
Yeah. Is there anybody in the season that you're really not feeling? A no baby.
A no baby. Not that's still in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the people that are still in the game.
Was there somebody earlier in the season?
I mean, I just feel bad for like Julia. I don't think she got a lot of airtime.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't really get to find out who she was. Keith, you know, didn't get a lot of time.
We didn't even get to see Julia on the edge of extinction this week. We saw her. We saw her there,
but
she was the only person that didn't get like the start of the next episode. Like, wow, edge of extinction. It's harder than I thought. You know, we went right into. You know, it's the first time we didn't see the edge of extinction in the beginning of the episode.
That's right. That's
yeah.
right. So, yeah, I feel like she hasn't gotten any airtime.
Yeah. And I suspect it was probably because she was like, okay, it's not that big a deal. And
right.
I feel like I suspect it was more that she didn't have a breakdown on the edge of extinction and talk about quitting. But then because she didn't have that, then we didn't see anything.
Right. Exactly. You know, everyone else was like, oh my God, you know, how could this happen? Mm-hmm. And the blind side. And I mean, Kelly with her, like, I had my idol, and Lauren has one too. She didn't even wait 2 seconds before mm-hmm. she spilled those beans.
Yeah. Do you think that that's going to potentially come back to haunt Lauren in some way, that Kelly revealed that she has the idol?
I mean, I don't know that we know whether those idols are dead or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
so Kelly's idol is dead.
Back in the game. It's dead.
Kelly's idol is dead. But I guess the question is now, so now all these other people know that Lauren has an idol. Nobody else knew that. And one of these people might come back into the game at a point when Lauren's idol can still be played.
Maybe. Yeah. Because day 36, probably the last day you can play that idol.
Because I think that somebody's going to come back when there's 6 people left in the game, and she can still play her idol through 5. So I think that that could be, you know, very important information for somebody who comes back.
Exactly. I don't know if she just didn't think about that, mm-hmm. or she was just so taken back by the fact that she got, you know, blindsided with an idol in her pocket mm-hmm. that she just let it slip.
Yeah. Carolyn, what have you made of all of the talk about women finding idols in the game as a woman who did find an idol in your season of Survivor?
I mean, I don't think it has anything to do with men and women. Mm-hmm. You gotta want it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, what is your Survivor story? Well, mine had an idol in it, mm-hmm. right? So when I had my checklist of things that I wanted to do, that was one of them. Mm-hmm. So I was out there with, you know, the notion that, okay, I'm going to find it. Mm-hmm. Wonder where it is. We got to start looking. I don't know why people don't do that. Everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what has been said is, you know, that there are more, you know, stigma attached to going out and doing that sort of idol search as a woman, where a man can get away from the camp easier without as much suspicion. Do you buy into that?
No, absolutely not.
Okay. And you found yours early, right?
I did. Yeah. Very early.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you were just out there. Were you worried that people were going to know you were looking for the idol?
No, because I was building a shelter.
Mm-hmm.
I was searching for bamboo and searching for things to tie it up with. And, you know, when you come across something that doesn't look right
mm-hmm.
and you stop and look,
mm-hmm.
that's when things happen.
Yeah. This is a question from Winston Kelly, who says, how do you feel about the trend of the middle, older aged women almost always being the first boots in the Survivor season since yours aired? Katrina, Reem, Jennifer Lanzetti. Is there anything that players in this age or category can do to increase their odds of making the merge and avoiding early targets? Now, not every woman in that category has been voted out early, but it does seem like that's an early, easy target in a lot of these seasons.
It is. And it's very annoying, because the first thing that people do when they look at you is, oh, you're the old lady,
mm-hmm.
right? So you can't act like the old lady. You have to act like you're playing Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
How do you do that?
You play the game, mm-hmm. right? You've got to go out, you've got to find food, you've got to build a shelter, you've got to attempt to make fire.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are the things. You've got to play the game, and you've got to get them to see you as a person, not as an old lady.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference, I think.
What have you thought of Reem this season?
I think Reem came out a bit too strong.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was her issue.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, listen, it's funny because people are always talking about she moved the stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, I had my clothes hanging here. But those are things that piss off people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wouldn't want somebody touching my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I put it there for a reason. Who the hell took it? You know, like, that would be the first thing in my mind.
Dude, now, Carolyn, I just moved the stuff so it would dry. Don't be so lame.
Yeah. if I wanted you to move it, I would have asked you. But, you know, it's, you know, when you think about people, it's those stupid little things that piss off people.
Mm-hmm.
On my season, it was when we went to the first swap,
mm-hmm.
and me, Shireen, and Max got to the no collar camp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mindset was, I'm still a guest. It's their camp.
Mm-hmm.
Their mindset was, it's our camp. Let's, you know, do whatever we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And like me and Kelly, our first thought was, we've got to find more bamboo. We've got to build a bigger shelter so that we have room for us on this new island, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Shireen and Max didn't do that.
Yeah.
They took other people's spots in the shelter.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a no-no.
Right.
And that's communication. That's understanding people's, you know, wishes, building relationships, like all of those things come into play. Stupid things.
Yeah.
They're stupid little things. They mean nothing pertaining to the game, but they mean a lot to other people.
But I think that's a really good point that you make about, you know, we talk about, you know, the voting blocks and, you know, everything is, you know, game strategy. But I think that's really important what you're saying, that part comes second, where that being sort of like having like that, this baseline, you know, that's sort of like through common courtesy and decency and having, you know, a good enough social game that people don't hate your guts when they meet you. You need to have that in place before you can get somebody to go with you and go for a vote. Because if somebody doesn't like you and, you know, can't stand being around you, it doesn't matter how good your plan is. More often than not, the survivor player who is hungry and tired, and, you know, if they hate your guts, then they don't want to work with you no matter how good your plan is.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, the plan is secondary and people are first.
Yeah.
And that's sometimes overlooked, I think.
Is that something that gets overlooked in business too?
100%.
Mm-hmm.
100%. People are like all about the results. They don't mind if they're stepping over people to get those results. Then all of a sudden they wonder why they don't have engaged people in the workforce. You know, 70% of the people that work today are not engaged at work.
Mm-hmm.
Horrifying.
Like Joe and Sierra?
Not like them.
Oh, okay.
I'm super excited about them being engaged.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important.
Yeah. This was something from Edward Morris, who wants to know, as somebody who won a fire challenge at Final Four, how do you feel about it happening every season? Carolyn, do you feel like that you and your fire battle versus Rodney was somehow one of the things that they had in mind when they made the fire making challenge, at least for now, a permanent part of the Final Four?
I think our fire challenge was an epic battle because we both sucked so bad at making fire that it was literally the best TV ever.
Mm-hmm.
Because first of all, we're trying to make fire. It's over an hour. You look at the jury. They're all yawning.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows what we're doing. We suck so bad. Now, mind you, I practiced making fire before that.
Right.
I made two fires within 10 minutes.
Right.
And I said to myself, I need to make three fires and then I'll feel really good about it. Never made the third fire.
Mm-hmm.
It took me two more hours, never made that third fire. So I was freaking out. But then all of a sudden, we're in the challenge, Rodney gets a spark, it turns into a fire. And then like a second later, I get mine. Like, you couldn't have asked for better TV than that.
Right. How long were you guys going before you guys both had fire?
At least an hour.
An hour. Wow.
At least an hour. We sucked so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, do you contemplate stopping at some point? I mean, an hour is a really long time to be,
you know,
with your,
stopping.
You know, No. I got to feel like
I mean, Rodney's knuckles were bleeding.
Yeah.
Every one of his knuckles were bleeding. Mine weren't. I almost cut off my finger a couple of times, but no, there was no stopping.
It would have been worth it though, right?
It would have been worth it. Like, come on.
Yeah. Let me ask you about Rodney. Felipe wants to know, how would you and Rodney do on The Amazing Race together? Now that we have the reality star Amazing Race that's going on right now. Are you following that, Carolyn?
Oh my God, I love it. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Do you have a particular team that you are invested in?
I'm invested in all of my Survivor teams.
Mm-hmm.
Brett and
even
Chris.
Rupert and Laura.
Brett and Chris are my favorite.
Yes.
Team Villain is my second favorite.
Yes.
And Rupert and Laura will be the third favorite.
Why are we only the third favorite, Carolyn?
Just because I don't really know them. And they were in the park for 2 hours.
I played on a Survivor season with Rupert.
I know. How was
know
that?
That? It was great.
Yeah.
Rupert. Yeah.
He's a great Survivor player.
Yeah.
But I just don't know him, you know. But I did not want a Survivor team to go home first.
Yes, that would have been embarrassing, right?
That would have been embarrassing.
Yes.
And listen, Corinne and Eliza are just TV gold.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my God. When they were in last place, well, they thought they were in last place. They weren't really in last place. And they were sucking it up so bad. And they're like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. I'm just like, oh my, this is fabulous.
Yeah. But you and Rodney would be fun.
I think we would be fun, but I am very competitive. So I would maybe kill him too. Yeah.
So we saw Rodney in Philadelphia, that he was there with his buddy Kevin Schlauber from Big Brother. You know Kevin?
Yes.
Okay. And so I asked Rodney, are you going to be in Joe and Sierra's wedding party? And he was like, bro, I got the picture from Joe and he wouldn't send me this picture if I wasn't going to be in the wedding party. And a lot of people wanted to know from you. So do you think that that Rodney has the right read on this situation?
I think that they might be having a different wedding than everyone expects. They might have their own little family thing together and then maybe have, you know, two parties or something.
Okay. And then Rodney can be in the second party.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. This is a question. So Michelle Amy wants to know, would you consider going back for another season?
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Like, yeah, baby, how long is it going to take you to put me back on the show, Mr. Probst?
So, Carolyn, you were one of the people that were up for the running in the Second Chances. And so I think is very interesting. So that you had a chance to be voted back in by the fans. I think a lot of us thought that you were going to be a shoo-in because you were somebody who was on the current season to get voted back in. And now were you taken out of the consideration because you were in the final three or anything like that?
Here's what I've heard.
Okay.
And listen, this is what I believe. It may be true. It may not be true. It may be how I've rationalized it.
Okay.
I've heard from several people, a lot of people, that they did not vote for me in the end because nobody thought that Mike was going to win every freaking immunity challenge left in the game. And so we all knew if he did not win immunity, guess who was going home?
Mm-hmm.
Mike, which is why they voted him back in.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, honestly, I think people thought I was going to win the game and they didn't want to waste a vote on me.
Yeah.
What I heard was that I was the 11th girl on the list.
So were you packed and ready to go from that finale?
I 100% thought I could win the game.
Mm-hmm.
Surprise.
Yeah.
And B, I 100% thought I was going back. Like there wasn't.
Yeah, that's a tough night, Carolyn.
That was the worst night of my life. May 20th, 2015.
Yeah.
Not that I remember.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah.
It was a horrible, horrible night.
I'd have to go back and listen to what I was saying at the time, but I'm pretty sure that we went through it all. And, you know, that was like when we got to pretend that we were like, Nate Silver and like predicting the votes. And, you know, I think that we probably had you as one of the locks. I think T-Bird, too, was somebody that we had. Okay, that's a lock. That's a lock. And I think that we thought that maybe like the Monicas maybe had a tougher road to get in. And maybe there was another person or two that we thought were sort of like more long shots and somehow that came in. But, yeah, that does really, I don't know how that worked out that way.
It worked out that way because I guess they thought I was going to win.
Yeah. Wow. What kind
that
of
was a painful night.
Yeah. What kind of preparation had you done to then go back and potentially play like and leave right from the finale?
I mean, it wasn't fabulous because, you know, you don't get to say goodbye to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was ready. I was literally packed and ready to go. And my mindset was on the island.
Mm-hmm.
Like as soon as I found out I didn't win, I was like, okay, I'm going back. And then I'm sitting in the audience waiting for Jeff to come down. And I was like towards the beginning, you know, towards the front
right.
of the chairs, and I'm counting and I'm like, holy shit. Mm-hmm. I'm not getting on.
Yeah. So like, you were one of these people that saw the names that a lot of the second chance people say they saw like, oh, I knew I wasn't going or I knew I was going because I saw Jeff's card.
Oh, no.
Or the seating arrangement, something like that.
No, I didn't see that at all.
Yeah.
Remember, it was my finale. So yeah. I didn't really, you know, I wasn't in the audience other than when I got off stage to go to the audience.
Mm-hmm.
So... you know, my head was in the finale, not in the second chances.
Right.
So no, I didn't see anything. And then I'm just watching and I'm counting the number of women. And I'm like, right before he got to me, I knew I wasn't going.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you could see my face. It was total devastation.
Mm-hmm. Had you been talking to anybody else that was going to be going back?
I was talking to Shireen at the time.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
And you guys were on good terms and you would have worked together in the second chance season.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Carolyn, yeah. this is wild. And you would have been in on these voting blocks?
I would have. It would have been so much fun.
Mm-hmm. And you would have won in
Jeremy
St. Jeremy
and I sitting in the final two together. It would have been fabulous.
Yeah. So you're definitely, you know, up to come back again. And Jeff has said that that he really wants you back, right?
Yeah, he did a whole when Game Changers came out. Dalton Ross actually asked him. There was an interview that said, you know, the one person I don't see out here is Mama C. Like, what's happening with that? And he's like, no, we love her. We definitely want to see her back for another season. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm ready.
You're ready.
Now's the time.
You're ready to go. You're ready to go.
Okay. Let's make it happen.
Okay. This is an interesting question, and I had not ever heard this before. Corey B says, I heard from a fellow contestant recently that at the end of your season's final tribal council, Jeff Probst got on his hands and knees and enthusiastically called your season the best one ever. Is this an accurate story?
I'm not sure I remember the hands and knees part, but yes. He definitely did say that it was the best season ever.
Wow.
I pretty much think he says that after every season.
Yes.
You know, because in his mind, he's watching the season unfold and he's like, oh my God, this is the best season ever. And then, you know, another twist happens and something else. So I don't think it was malicious or I really do believe he felt like at that point in time, it was
certainly not
season.
Malicious. Right.
Yeah.
But I don't think he says that every season.
Maybe not.
Yeah. He was really high, you know, to the point where people were like very critical of that. Jeff was so effusive with his praise for Worlds Apart that I think that the expectations were set so high that I don't know if it could ever live up to the expectations.
I know. I feel like we got a bad rap, though.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know, like people rate it on the rankings. What is it? It's like in the 25th or something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we don't suck that bad. Like, take another look at it. And, you know,
yeah.
Like, there was some, I think there was drama that was highlighted that mm-hmm. didn't need to be highlighted mm-hmm. because when you think of the drama that you saw on TV, it was maybe 10 minutes of drama out of 39 days. Right. And so, 10 minutes doesn't make a season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We didn't fight every day. We didn't have those arguments. We were all getting along. We had a great time. We had a very close cast. So I think that, you know, when people look at our season and they see drama, mm-hmm. which I can't stand because I hate drama, I really don't believe it was, you know, as...
Yeah.
as it was portrayed.
And then you guys also got very overshadowed with the second chance voting where people were going haywire with that, you know, the room first, the rumors, then the actual voting. And then you could vote for the, you know, for 2 weeks of campaigning.
And I wasn't allowed,
to campaign either. Right. Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was really, you know, a wild couple of weeks there at the end of the season.
Exactly.
Okay. Let me ask you a question for Edward Morris, who says that your season was the last to have the auction. Do you think it will ever come back? This has actually come up a lot recently, that the Worlds Apart auction, maybe, you know, the most impactful auction that had ever happened on the show. And after that, they're like, well, we don't know what to do with the auction anymore. And they haven't done it. And Jeff has talked about how he doesn't think it's that interesting. Christian from last season, when he was up there on the post for 6.5 hours, that was one of the things that he was asking Jeff about. When are you going to bring back the auction? And recently on Twitter, Jeff was talking about a fan had asked Jeff, will you bring back the auction? And he said, well, let me know your ideas on how to fix it.
What was wrong with it? There was nothing wrong with it. Everyone loves the auction.
Mm-hmm. Well, did it get broken when Shireen said, all right, everybody just will bid $20 for the letter?
I mean, but then why Mike is that
came
broken?
In. Yeah, then Mike came in and then
yeah,
bid
then
everybody.
Mike came in and like tried to, oh my God, that was total drama.
Mm-hmm.
Like I thought I was going to kill him mm-hmm. right then and there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know what Jeff would have done because I would have been like, give me my $20 back,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that's what I said to Jeff. And he's like, oh, wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but the auction is great.
Mm-hmm.
The auction is good because you see who's like spending their money, who's going for the advantage, who's getting, you know, crap. I mean, that auction caused all the drama of our season.
Mm-hmm.
All of it.
Yeah.
Because the Shireen Will fight was over that auction.
Yeah.
Everything happened at that auction.
Yeah, it was really huge in terms of the game, but they never brought it back. It killed
and
the auction.
And they never brought it back.
Yeah.
What I never want to see again, because to me it makes no sense whatsoever, is the gross eating challenge.
Oh, see, I feel like that they should do that more. Okay.
I think it's disgusting, despicable.
Despicable.
Ugh, gross. Yeah.
Yeah. Carolyn, I think that should be the challenge to get back into the game.
Well, that would be actually a great challenge. We know it's not that because Aubrey's training for some other twist and turn. But maybe at the end, it's a gross eating.
Yeah, I really like that because I think that so many times in the gross food challenge, it's I don't like it when they do it for individual immunity because it's like, well, I don't need immunity, so right, I'm not going to do this.
Right.
I like it when they do it for the team. And I think they did do it in the second chances with the team. And then it's like, okay, well, now you're going to cost your tribe immunity. And maybe you get voted out if you don't want to do it. But make that, you know, how bad do you want to get back in the game? All right, eat this. I don't want to eat it.
That is the worst challenge ever.
Mm-hmm. You guys didn't have to do that though, right?
I will do any other challenge. Mm-hmm. That one is a waste of time for me. I think.
Would you attempt it?
Okay. So I played this like Survivor game elsewhere.
Okay.
Not on Survivor. And yes, they had this stupid gross eating challenge, and it was a team challenge.
This is the Bob event?
Yes.
Okay.
It was disgusting. What was it? I don't know what we ate. It was gross.
Was it a mountain of pizza?
No.
Okay.
If it was a mountain of pizza, I would have been like all about it.
Well, it looks pretty gross.
It was gross stuff.
Okay.
I don't know what it was, but it was disgusting, and some of it was moving.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we didn't win the challenge. And in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, I have to pretend that I'm freaking eating this shit because it's a team challenge.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to win because half of us can't freaking eat it. And there are other teams that are like gobbling it down.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my thought is, if you know you're not going to win that challenge, why even start it?
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of dedication in fake Survivor games.
I know. I know.
And it's one thing on the real show.
Why would you put yourself through that, Carolyn? That was stupid.
Yeah. Okay.
You didn't do it in the real show and you're doing it in this stupid game? Yeah.
Okay. Alec Marinaro wants to know, completely removing yourself from the situation, do you think that Mike's move at your auction was brilliant or boneheaded? Do you believe this move led to the discontinuation of the auction, or was it already broken?
I don't see the auction was broken, and Mike's move in the auction was a bonehead move for himself.
Mm-hmm.
Because he pissed off every single one of us.
Right.
And quite frankly, we were all in an alliance still.
Yeah.
You know, and he went psycho crazy thinking that.
Refresh my memory, Carolyn. Was it for that that you guys had all spent all your money on the letters, and then he bid on an advantage? Or was it the letters?
Okay, so what happened was it was the letters.
Okay.
Whoever was going for the advantage had $500.
Okay.
And Shireen says,
and that was
we
Dan,
all put 20
right?
bucks in. It was me, Dan, Tyler and Mike.
Mm-hmm.
But then Tyler didn't go for the advantage. He kept his money. He didn't use it. So we all spent the $20. I rushed up. Dan went first. I rushed second. I'm turning around, and then Mike sits back down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wait, what just happened? And that's when it all started.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that means that the auction is broken.
Yeah.
It just means that Mike did a bonehead move,
mm-hmm.
right? I think that we were all still in an alliance. You know how everyone talks about, oh, Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he heard us talking about Final Four and he wasn't in it. And then he went crazy.
Yeah.
And he's like, these people are trying to vote us out. Nah, 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 nah. That's when he was, mm-hmm. yeah, he changed everything.
Now,
we weren't even talking about him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not 100% true. Rodney wanted to vote him out earlier. And I'm like, Rodney, settle down. Let's just stick to the plan.
Yeah.
Stick to the plan.
You guys had a very late family visit in your season. Do they do the family visit too early? And then we have situations like in this season where it's a lot of the survivors like, hey, everybody just settle down and let's just wait till the family visit.
Our family visit was day 36. I think that's too late.
Too late. Right?
Too late.
Right.
I also think that day 20 is too early. You shouldn't mm-hmm. have, you know, 11 family members show up mm-hmm. either. I think, you know, 8, 7, you know, yeah. around there.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. I think last season, I want to say they had it at 8, which is they had it at 8. And then I think they had 2 family members go to Ponderosa also.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
So, or that might have been Ghost Island. I'm not sure about when they had it on David versus Goliath. David versus Goliath, very uneventful family visit.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was a different family visit.
Yeah.
I know. You know, when you do the 2 seasons, they all kind of stick together. Mm-hmm. You never know which one happened first.
Yeah.
But last season was David versus Goliath.
Okay. This is a question from John Johnson, one of your fellow Tampa residents.
Right.
John Johnson says, I haven't listened to your podcast yet. Can you give me a pitch about your podcast?
My podcast?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So I actually have two podcasts. One is the Carolyn Rivera Show.
Okay.
And that podcast is all about self-development, right? Okay. So it's all about, you know, what you think you can do to help yourself succeed. And we talk about
talking my language, Carolyn. I love this.
All different things. Like today's show is turning challenges into opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I talked about today. And I gave two great survivor examples because, you know, one was I didn't do so well, and one, you know, you change your mindset and you do much better. So that's kind of what that is.
What were the survivor examples?
So the one survivor example where I gave up was the pole challenge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, me and Joe in the final.
Mm-hmm.
And then the survivor challenge that, you know, I said, no, that's not happening again, was when I was holding the rod with 25% of my body weight above, and it was girls against the girls, guys against the guys, and it was me, Sierra, and Shireen. Shireen was trying to vote me out at the time. Sierra dropped out first, so it was just me and Shireen left. It was do or die. I had to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. So,
yeah,
you know, it's mind over matter, right? The self-fulfilling prophecy. You are who you think you are.
Now, I see that you've talked to some survivors as well on your show. So you talked to Sunday recently about bad bosses.
Yes. Yes. So bad bosses, you know.
Wait, Sunday is a bad boss?
No, she had a bad boss.
Oh, how bad?
It was pretty bad. Yeah. She was giving some examples of, you know, what it feels like to have a bad boss.
Okay.
And if you're a boss, how to make sure that you don't get that title.
Yeah. And what was going on? The boss was mean?
Just, you know how when some bosses are just all about themselves,
mm-hmm.
they don't really see the people. They don't really care about the people.
Mm-hmm.
It's their career. It's their world. And, you know, you do what I tell you to do, sort of like that.
Mm-hmm.
Those types of bosses don't really work.
Okay. I see that you also talked to Francesca recently.
I did.
Yes. Yes. How's Franny doing?
Franny's doing good. She's changed her life. You know, she talked about her experience on Survivor and being voted out first twice, mm-hmm. and how that really affected her. And then, you know, she kind of just changed her whole life, right?
Mm-hmm.
She turned into this matchmaker, which was very interesting, and now she's a life coach.
I see you talked to Sandra also.
I did. I mm-hmm. talked to Sandra,
yes.
about the game and, you know, what it feels like to be a queen, you
yes.
know.
Oh, this is the one I'm going to listen to. Social media has changed the world with Missy Payne and Baylor Wilson. You had Baylor and Missy on the podcast.
I had the two team
yeah.
double on.
Yes.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Yeah, baby. Yeah. You know, social media.
You had them on. Missy is a two-time guest.
She is, because I had her on alone also.
Mm-hmm.
To talk about her charity.
Yes. Okay. And why? What did Baylor and Missy do on social media?
We talked about the fact that social media has changed our lives, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our kids, your kids, not mine, your kids are growing up with social media.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how kids can
be.
Yeah,
they're on my wife's social media every 5 seconds.
Yes. And kids can be super cruel.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my wife is posting about them every 5 seconds.
I know. I see them all the time.
Yeah.
The lovely pictures.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Yes. I mean, come on. I miss that because my kids are older, so they post their own stuff. but I never really had the opportunity to show all my gorgeous, you know, kid stuff.
Yeah.
But that's the good part about social media, because like, I don't get to see your kids. You're in California, I'm in Tampa, but I do get to see your kids because of social media. So that's the benefit.
Yeah.
The disadvantage is that people think that, you know, it doesn't hurt if you type something and when you press send, there's no consequence.
Yeah.
Well, there is a consequence.
Did you deal with that a lot when you were on the show and a lot of, you know, negative feedback on social media?
I actually only had a very, very small stint with bad social media. I got a good edit. People seem to have liked me on the show.
Yeah.
But not on the show between the Will and Shireen fight. I had some people saying, you call yourself Mama C and you didn't even help out Shireen.
Right.
And I'm like, go watch the show again, honey. I wasn't even at camp when that happened. And my son's like, Mom, why are you responding?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the biggest mistake.
And I said, well, that's a good thought. I don't really have to. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
I didn't.
Yeah.
But I also talked to Angelina.
Yo.
And she was on my show and she had really, really, really bad social media.
Yeah.
So it does hurt
She got bad feedback on social media.
She got blasted on social media. Right.
Yes. And is that the Carolyn Rivera show?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. Now is it focused on women in business or is it for anybody?
I've had a couple of men on and it's funny because when I initially started the show, I was thinking women only, but I work with a lot of men, you know, like in my job, I work with senior teams and getting them to really see things differently. So I'm kind of at this crossroads where I really have to determine, is it a women's show or is it a leadership show? And so I am actually making that choice. I don't think I've come to the decision yet.
Okay.
I don't think I've come to the decision yet, but, I'm semi leading towards women.
Yeah. Look, I think that there's a lot of, shows that are out there that are, you know, about, you know, just a general topics. And I think that the more like niche you get, I think that that's, easier to find like a core audience that really loves the show. So, I agree. That sounds like the right idea to me.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that was my struggle. You know, you've been doing podcasting for what, 9 years
nine
now?
Years,
8 years now?
Yeah. Great job.
See, I know. And so you've got it down to a science. You know exactly who your audience is. You've got your following. For me, I'm not even a year in yet.
Yes.
So I'm...
But you've got
I've
a great
switched
setup.
It up a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I've got to just... get my niche, get focused, and go with it.
Yes. Well, depending on what direction you go in, or if you think that I could even be, you know, a guest talking about stuff for women, that I'd be, you know, happy to be a guest anytime you want to have me on, Carolyn.
Excellent. Thank you. Yes, I will take you up on that.
Okay. Tell me about what's your book. Also, I didn't know you had a book.
I do. I have a book. It's called Plant Your Flag, The 7 Secrets to Winning. So it's all about
winning
leadership.
What? Life?
Winning life.
Okay.
Yep. And so when I finished Survivor, one of the things that I wanted to do was write a book.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I quit my job and I started my own company, I started putting it together. And it took me a while because I stopped and started. But the concept is all about victory. So if you think of the word victory, every one of those letters means something in my book, right? So V is vision, I is influence, C is communication, T is trust, O is open-minded, R is relationship building, and Y is yielding results. And in each one of the chapters, I talk about all of those things and what it takes to be successful with those skills in life.
Okay.
And so that's what the book's all about.
All right. Has Stephen Fishback offered to have you on the Paraphrase podcast yet?
No.
Okay. Well, he did interviews authors.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, I'm an author, so he's got to interview me.
No, he has to.
All right, Stephen. And then, gauntlet is out there.
Yeah. Is this on? Is it on? Like, is it a? Is this a digital book, or you get the like? Is it printed?
It's both.
Both. Okay.
It's both. Well, here's the thing. So I self-published in October of 2018, and I didn't really know what to do or how to promote or all of that. Well, now I have a publisher, and so it is in the makings of getting to bookstores. The funny thing is the book is done. Mm-hmm. You can buy it today. It's on my website. But the relaunch, they tell me, is going to be March of 2020. Mm-hmm. I don't know why it takes so long to get it into bookstores, but yeah, apparently that's the length of time that it takes.
Carolyn,
so
I'm on your website. It says, speak with Carolyn. Carolyn would love to talk to you about your needs. Schedule a free call with Carolyn. So anybody can just go to your website and schedule a call with you.
They can. They can.
That's it. Well, you're playing with fire now, and it's not going to take an hour for you to get into trouble with this one.
Well, they just have to go to my website.
Yeah.
CarolynJRivera.com. Speak with Carolyn. Okay. There
it is. What if somebody calls you and then they're just like asking you like survivor questions? Will you hang up?
I mean, probably not, because I'm not that person, but I mean, this is a business. So,
you know, Johnny Fairplay makes people buy a t-shirt from him before that he'll even call them. You'll just call them for free?
You know what? Yeah, I'm not Johnny Fairplay.
Wow. You're not one of these people on Book Cameo where you have to pay $30 to get a message from you. You'll call.
Well, I actually am on Book Cameo.
Oh, you are. So that's a bad deal if somebody's buying you on Book Cameo then.
Why, I know.
What do you say to people on Cameo?
I've done a couple of cameos. They asked me to do it. So I was like, okay, whatever. One time I wished somebody a happy birthday. And one time I wished somebody, you know, just like good luck with their career and their life. And they can do this, mm-hmm. you know, kind of like a motivational, mm-hmm. a motivational speech.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, Carolyn, anything else you want to talk about?
Well, what do you think about this season? I don't think you told me your thoughts on Edge of Extinction.
I'm enjoying it. I'm having a hard time like predicting anything, but you know, I am having fun talking about it. So, like I enjoy the people that are on the show, even if I don't have like a fully fleshed out picture of everybody. Yeah. But the shows themselves like are exciting. That
I
you know,
so
it's
too.
It's not boring. I don't really know what's going on, but it's not boring. And I'd rather have that where than I know everything that's happening and it's boring. So right. I'll take this over. You know, some of these seasons where like okay, it's the finale is 4 weeks. We all know what's going to happen.
Right, I agree with that. I like the fact that we don't know what's going on. And you know how when people are looking at the season and they're saying, oh, well, so-and-so is getting the winner's edit and this one's getting the winner's edit. There's no
good
winner's
luck.
Edit.
Yeah.
There's no way to pick.
Carolyn, like, I didn't know you did edgic.
I do.
Yeah.
Listen, you know, gotta.
Yeah.
You gotta.
You do
yeah.
podcasting. You're doing edgic. You're taking phone calls from random people.
From randoms. Yes. Yes.
And you do speaking too, right?
I do. I do speaking. Okay. I do speaking and training. That's my main business.
Well, what kind of business?
So people hire me to come do a motivational speech to talk. Like next week, I'll be in Boston and I'm talking about not just surviving, thriving mm-hmm. in today's ever-changing environment.
Yes.
You know, or I'll talk about my book, Plant the Flag. And then most of the time, I'm doing training sessions. You mm-hmm. know, 2 weeks ago, I was doing we call it a train the trainer. So I was training trainers on how to facilitate and train content.
Okay.
So presentation skills, things like that. So that's what I do.
Okay. Carolyn, that I'm gonna call you to get training for my business.
There you go.
Help me figure things out over here.
All right. And I'll be calling you to help me with my podcast.
I am happy to help. If you have any questions, you know, I do hear from a lot of the, you know, survivors who are, you know, getting started up with different podcast ventures about different questions. So I'm happy to help out.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
What else are you podcasting about?
Yeah. So I do have one other podcast. It's a very unique podcast. It's called A Survivor Podcast.
A Survivor Podcast.
Okay. Yeah. It took us a really long time to figure out that name. And I actually do a show with Brett Mega. He's a radio host in Texas on Hot.
I know Will Mega. Tell me about Brett Mega.
Brett Mega is a radio host on Hot 93.3 in Dallas, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you Dallas fans, you probably know him mm-hmm. for his morning show. But we do a show together and we get survivors on to recap, you know, the current season. And so, mm-hmm. yeah, we have some fun with that. So tune into that as well. It'll be, you can never have too much Survivor, right?
That's just right.
There's such good stuff out there.
That's right. Okay. Are you enjoying doing the Survivor podcast, Carolyn?
I love Survivor podcasts because, I mean, I get to talk about Survivor mm-hmm. all day, you know.
Have you said anything that has made the other cast members that are on the season mad yet?
I don't think so. I mean, no, I'm not like team villain.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, like if people aren't getting, you know, talk time or things like that, we talk about that, mm-hmm. but we don't, you know, just focus on that. So no, I mean, I'm not going out there specifically to hurt people's feelings, but you know, sometimes you make a bad move. You know, you made a bad move. I know you made a bad move. Everyone knows you made a bad move. Suck it up and enjoy the bad news.
Yeah, why are you getting mad at me?
Yeah.
Right. All right. CarolynJRivera.com if you want to check out what's going on or schedule a free phone call with Carolyn. please, serious questions only for Carolyn. You check out Carolyn's podcast and her book. What's the best way for people to find the podcast? Search for it on Apple Podcasts or wherever podcasts are downloaded.
Yes, iHeartRadio, iTunes podcast, they are all posted there.
Okay.
And download them. Go ahead.
Sure.
Download them away.
Sure.
Come on.
People have a lot of space on their phones. They can fit more podcasts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's plenty of room to listen. And then once you listen, you're done on your way to work. There it is.
Yeah, there you go. All right. And of course, on social media as well, go ahead and follow MamaC_14. What's the 14?
14 is my lucky number.
Why?
Ever since I was playing sports in high school, I was number 14.
You got cast on Survivor in 2014?
I did.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Let's see.
There you go.
So does that mean you'll come back for Survivor? What's 14 times 3? 42.
No, let's just make it Survivor. How about 41, 42, you know?
Okay, 42. 42. That's fine.
42 would be great. Yeah, let's make that happen.
Let me just check my math because then I get the haters telling me how stupid I am. 28. Yeah, I think that checks out, right? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You get one thing wrong, Carolyn. I don't know if you have this
and
on
then
your podcast.
You're like, no, when you said this, that wasn't right. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
Carolyn, let me ask you this. Is a spider an animal?
No.
That's right. That's what I'm saying.
It's an insect.
That's right.
It's a bug.
Yes.
No.
I asked my kids the same thing. They tell me the same answer. They said, no, Dad, it's a bug. Thank you. Okay.
All right. But did social media say it was an animal?
That's what people are dragging me, Carolyn.
Through the mud with
yes,
that?
Yes.
Okay, well, you know what? I'm going to have to agree with you.
I'm telling you that tell Angelina, move over, because I've got some stories for you about people being mean on social media. Okay?
Okay.
Delete that All episode. Right. Let's re-record it. I'll talk about being bullied on social media.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry that you've gone through that.
Thank you.
Because of a bug.
Well,
because of an insect.
If you want me to describe that experience on your podcast, I can go into details.
There okay. you go.
Carolyn, thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you so much for doing this. You're so much fun. And, best of luck with everything you have going on.
Thanks so much.
Okay. Take care.
Take care.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Mama C on the podcast. Like Carolyn was very fun. Excited to catch up and hear everything that she has going on. All right. So we still have a lot to do here this week as we're getting ready to kick off another week on the podcast. I do have some other bonus coverage coming up. I'm going to be off to Podcast One's studio on Tuesday when I'm going to sit down with Todd Garner. He is the host of the Producer's Guide with Todd Garner and the Hollywood Elite. He's a big Survivor fan. He's interviewed Jeff Probst in the past. His podcast is on Podcast One. And so I'm going to go down there and talk to him on Tuesday morning and have that podcast for you guys as well coming up either later on Tuesday or on Wednesday. We'll probably talk more big picture than specifically about the last episode. Then Wednesday night on the Survivor Know-It-Alls with News AF. Coming your way as well. Angelina will be filling in for Stephen Fishback on Wednesday night, who's having a shoulder surgery this week. So we wish Stephen a very speedy recovery. PG Law on the recap. Nick Majorano in the studio for the feedback show, and AJ Mass on This Week in Survivor before we do the Wiggle Room again next week. So a jam-packed week. Of course, thank you so much to the patrons of Rob's Podcast who make all of this podcasting nonsense possible and get access to our patron-only podcast feed and everything that's going on in a Rob is a Podcast patron community, and all that is available at robhasthewebsite.com/patron. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.